Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, September 10th, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. BLM closes stretch of lower Salmon River to rafters as sheep fire expands. Moscow committee discusses impact of downtown traffic revision, preventing left turns from northbound traffic on Main Street onto the Pullman Highway 12 hours a day. And Northwest Grain Terminal dock workers in contract talks with grain terminal owners. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Bureau of Land Management closed some of the lower Salmon River to rafters today to give helicopters fighting the sheep fire along US 95 more room to put their buckets in the water. The Lewiston Tribune website reports the river is closed to rafts and boats between the new Lucille boat ramp and the Twin Bridges Landing. Rafters who encounter water-dipping helicopters outside the closure area towards Riggins are being asked to stay on the right side of the river where possible and follow directions by firefighters wearing yellow shirts who may be along the shore coordinating dipping operations. The human-caused sheep fire 7 miles north of Riggins made significant runs yesterday and is burning intermittently in the crowns of trees. The incident report on the fire says the wildfire burned 2.5 square miles as of this morning. Residents near the community of Florence have been told they should evacuate. The 150 firefighters on the blaze were pulled off fire lines and are concentrating on protecting buildings. Motorists are urged to use caution driving along US 95 in the area because of the smoky conditions. Recreationists along Forest Service Roads 221 and 441 were also asked to evacuate and the roads were closed. Also in that part of the state, there is a State 2 evacuation order for those who live in Dixie, east of Grangeville. Fire officials are concerned increasing winds will cause the McGuire complex to blow up along the paved Forest Service Road 222. Fire Information Officer Katie Notek said those who need special care or have livestock should consider leaving the area. Further to the east, the long-burning 408-square-mile Mustang complex is expected to increase in size today with the arrival of winds in excess of 25 miles per hour and low humidity. Law enforcement have issued an evacuation order for 400 homes along U.S. Highway 93 between Quartz Creek and North Fork. The fire, which was started by lightning July 30th, is 16% contained. In central Washington, a brush fire in Number 1 Canyon near Wenatchee is threatening nearly 200 homes. Police Sergeant John Cruz says those living in 180 houses were ordered to evacuate yesterday. The evacuation order was rescinded when conditions improved and then put back into effect when the fire made another run yesterday. There are 80 new wildfires along the eastern slopes of the Cascades set by dry lightning strikes over the weekend. Homes are also threatened near Grand Coulee Dam. Only 6 people will be allowed on the presidential ballot in Idaho this year. The 6 are incumbent Barack Obama of the Democratic Party, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney of the Republican Party, Virgil H. Good Jr. of the Constitution Party, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party, former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson of the Justice Party, and Jill Stein of the Green Party, who is the author of the book In Harm's Way, Toxic Threats to Child Development. Anderson and Stein are officially running as independents in Idaho because the Justice and Green parties do not have ballot status in the state. Washington has the same 6 candidates on their presidential ballot, with the addition of 2 more: PETA Lindsey of the Party for Socialism and Liberation and Stuart Alexander of the Socialist Workers Party are both on printed ballots in the state of Washington. The website PoliticsOne.com lists 26 candidates for U.S. president with ballot status in at least one state. Rural Latah County resident Gerald Warner has called KRFP to say he is running for president as a write-in. Warner was an independent candidate for Latah County Commissioner in 2010. The Moscow City Council Public Works Committee this afternoon heard an informal report on the new traffic diversion in downtown Moscow prohibiting northbound Main Street traffic from making left turns onto 3rd Street towards Pullman between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on weekdays. City Council member Tim Brown asked Public Works Director Les McDonald to give an informal update. After McDonald, you'll hear from council members Sue Scott, Tim Brown, and Walter Steed in this sound clip.
Referring, of course, to the new left turn restriction at the intersection of Main Street and 3rd Street, which is a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. left turn restriction for northbound traffic. That's been installed now about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's only Monday through Friday, right?
And it's Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for the most part, it appears people have noticed now and are paying attention. And I think by far the majority are respecting the restriction. We do see a few folks now and again still making the turn. The police department has been stopping folks and educating them.
Community policing
and just
as
really
opposed to writing tickets.
Yeah, they're not writing tickets. They're just letting them know. They're giving them warnings, if you will, but just educating them.
Not to
them
say
about.
Tickets won't be written. Right. That's not an expectation.
That's the initial approach, is to help people understand that there's a change. It is signed
and
flagged.
The red flags helped a lot, because without the red flags, no one noticed. There's so many other signs in that area.
There was nobody going south on Main, and so I think the young man that was 3 or 4 cars ahead of me thought, whew, free turn. You know, zit, off he went. Yeah. Now, if there had been some cars wanting to come south, he may have had a second thought. But, well, I thought it was a good idea. There's a couple of others in town that if this works, we might try, i.e. 6th going south. It always seems like to me somebody wants to turn left on Main going south to go east on 6th, and it's a short light north-south. But the other...
Before you leave that one, Mayor, I'm not so concerned about the fact that you can periodically see somebody that blows through the sign. I think the police department will ultimately solve that problem.
I think you're correct.
What I find interesting, and I've talked to Les about this, is, and we don't have any data, unfortunately, it looks to me like there are less cars going north on Main in the 3rd to 6th block, that people are avoiding it, that they don't want to make the left turn to get back around to go to Pullman. So I find that interesting. I'm not sure what it means, but just an observation on that. I have asked the Chamber of Commerce if they have any observations or thoughts about it. I know transportation years ago did not want Main to be a thoroughfare, because they wanted to keep traffic slow so people could go down there to find parking places, mm-hmm. see what business storefronts are down there and so forth. But I guess I'm a little concerned. I guess I'll take it that far, that we're running all the traffic off of Main Street unless you're going to the destination of a bicycle inner tube tire or a particular place for lunch.
That was Moscow City Council member Walter Steed at this afternoon's Public Works Committee meeting. Before Steed, you heard from council members Tim Brown and Sue Scott and City Public Works Director Les McDonald. City Supervisor Gary Riedner said staff could have a more in-depth discussion of the downtown business traffic aspect of the issue if it's put on a future committee agenda. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Committee committee also today decided not to approve a contract with Knox Concrete of Lewiston to build a new sidewalk for the recently acquired Hatley Way Street, located parallel to the Pullman Highway between the Palouse Empire Mall and the U-Haul dealership on the Pullman Highway. The contract would have been for $21,000 for the sidewalk and $10,000 for adjacent stairs, with Walmart putting in $18,700 for the sidewalk construction. In this clip from today's meeting, Councilmember Tim Brown asks Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald if it might be better to put in a ramp that's up to Americans with Disabilities Act standards. Here's Brown and McDonald, followed by comments from City Supervisor Gary Riedner about Hatley Way sidewalks.
So how far back to the east would we have to come if we just ramped the whole darn thing and eliminated the stairs?
Well, and that's in essence where we were going with this. There is a ramp option. The base bid on this, it was a ramp. And we'll come off the
this ramp,
that ramp
right
there.
Great shot.
No, that ramp that curves around.
So
the
question is, starting hopefully not out in Troy, but going toward Hatley, in order for it to meet ADA standards, how far back do we have to go just to ramp it?
That distance right there meets an ADA standard.
Why don't we start here and just make a straight shot?
If you made a straight shot, you would have to take out a good portion of those parking stalls in that parking lot that belongs to
the
university.
The sidewalk that's already there.
And that sidewalk's on private property
as well.
So, if I may, and I think that just illustrates the issues that we have a few more things to talk about in this way. It's a good project. It's a smaller project. Putting it out in February or even earlier, it's small enough that somebody could come in and do it fairly quickly. But there are some issues, just as you brought up. Are there better ways to do this, perhaps? I know the curb cut going up to facilities on the former Montgomery driveway, that's got to be addressed. So there's some things like that that need a little deeper look at. And rather than even try to do this under the sidewalk program, it seems to make sense to make sure if we're going to do it, let's do it right. And another 5 months I don't think is going to be fatal in any way.
And if we did pursue it under the sidewalk program, it would more than likely be a spring construction anyway, because that program already has a fair bit of work slated for this fall.
That was Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald at the end of that clip, preceded by City Supervisor Gary Riedner and Councilmember Tim Brown. You also heard from McDonald at the beginning of the clip discussing the Hatley Way sidewalk project. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. A stunt pilot who was performing for a Latah County Republican Party picnic near 4 Mile Road at Viola died when his plane crashed Saturday afternoon. The Daily News reported the dead pilot was 60-year-old Randy Humble of Moscow, who was one of two pilots performing tricks for the gathering. County Commissioner Dave McGraw was at the picnic with about 40 people when he saw the plane heading straight down after hearing a noise above. McGraw said the plane was on fire when he saw it about 2 minutes after the crash. The crash site was between two houses. County Republican Chair Walter Steed told the Lewiston Tribune those attending the picnic heard the crash, which happened out of sight over a hill. Steed said the plane looked like it had been designed for landing on water, although it did not have pontoons attached. Dock workers and the owners of Northwest Grain Terminals began negotiations late last week for a new contract after their contract runs out at the end of the month. The Pacific Northwest Grain Handlers Association members, who work on Puget Sound and at Columbia River terminals, are being represented by the 42,000-member Longshore and Warehouse Union. Although members of the union and representatives of the grain terminal operators have not commented on the talk so far, grain growers in the Northwest are concerned about the progress of the negotiations. The new contract may reflect concessions made in a contract signed in February between Longview Grain Terminal workers and the company EGT. The concession saved money for EGT by allowing the company to hire workers for 2 12-hour shifts rather than 2 8-hour shifts and a higher-paying 5-hour graveyard shift. The contract allows EGT to get paid for damages caused by work stoppages. The man chosen by Spokane Mayor David Condon to be the city's new police chief cannot legally take the job because he has not passed Washington Police Academy training. The Spokane City Council will be asked tonight to appoint Frank Straub as director of law enforcement on a temporary basis rather than police chief. Straub is coming to Spokane from Indianapolis, where he was head of public safety for the city and surrounding county. In order to be appointed police chief, Straub must either take Washington training or get a waiver from the State Criminal Justice Training Commission. The training program for Washington officers lasts about 7 months. City spokesperson Marlene Feist told the Spokesman Review last week, referring to Straub, he actually was a commissioned officer in other locations in his career. He has lots of experience in the law enforcement field, so we think it's appropriate for him to seek this waiver as he becomes our new chief. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, there's a freeze warning in effect for Wednesday morning, 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. Otherwise, patchy smoke and areas of blowing dust before midnight tonight. Mostly clear, low 37, west winds 15 to 20. Becoming light, winds could gust as high as 25 miles an hour. And the weather is calling for clear to mostly clear conditions through the rest of the week and into the weekend. Tomorrow's high 65, Wednesday 71, 80 on Thursday, 84 Friday, and 80 on Saturday. Lows around 35 Tuesday night in Moscow, 38 Wednesday night, and 45 Thursday and Friday night. Currently, we have 65 degrees. Partly cloudy skies in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30, and at 7:30 live in the studios, Climate Justice Forum with Helen Yost. And more programming after that, 9:30, Occupy Wall Street Radio from Wall Street, and Philosopher Joe will make his music debut 10 p.m. till midnight tonight on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good evening. This is KRFP Moscow.
In the studios once again.